come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
I want to get right into the study because I understand that you have a lot to cover today. You have a lot that you want to do in your groups, but the Lord has a lot to say to you this morning. And I am thankful for this study. I love this study. Bill and I were, did anybody listen to the radio program last night, yesterday? Yeah. Bill and I and one of the other guys, we did it live yesterday. That was an adventure, as always. Yes. Always got to get people praying for him. But all of the programs, all of our programs, 4:30, all this week are going to be live. So you can email in radio@refugefamily.com how the radio program has affected your life. Okay? So if you want to do that, and maybe they'll take your question and or your comment and say it on air. Okay? So, and if you don't want your name attached to it, that's okay. You just tell them that. So, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, for just your presence. I pray, Father, for a peace to come on us, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep our hearts and our minds in you, Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you bring to us. I thank you, Father, that you have overwhelmed us with your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your love, and that you have filled us to overflowing, Lord, with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory. I thank you, Father, for your healing touch on people that are just suffering for one thing or another. We stand against that suffering. We stand against that if it is something from the enemy, Lord. We stand against it, and we ask for your healing. Lord, if it is something that you're taking us through, we pray for strength to continue through it and to always give you glory, always give you praise, always give you the honor, Lord. And we thank you for this study in Acts. We pray, Father, for your word to be spoken and that you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a question last week as to when did Jesus breathe the breath of life, or the breathe in the Holy Spirit, whether or not it was in those 40 days in the upper room. Yes, it was. So if you were questioning that, I just wanted to assure you of that. It was in the upper room during the 40 days, during the time when Jesus was seen by 500 different people. So during that 40 days, 500 different people saw him there. So now the Spirit is in them, and they are to wait for the Spirit to come upon them, to empower them. He's done it to empower us to be his witnesses. I was listening to something and some people talking, and I was wondering the same thing that they were wondering. Of the 500 people that Jesus showed himself to after the resurrection, why are there only 120 that are in this area right now for the blessing of the Holy Spirit? I wonder why there are only 120. Were there only 120 who got the invitation to go to Jerusalem and await the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or to wait for the promise? Were there only that many? I don't know, but I do know that the 120 who were there were right where they were supposed to be. And I want to be amongst those people who are right where I'm supposed to be. And I want that for you guys as well, to be right where you are supposed to be. When the Lord calls you to go somewhere, it's okay to have that feeling of, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to do that. That's okay to feel that way. But then we step out in faith and we go do what God's told us to do. So I don't know what that is for you, but I do have an idea on why there were only 120 as opposed to the 500 that heard. And have you noticed that prayer groups in a church are notoriously small? And why is that? God has called us. He told us to get together and pray with one another, pray for one another. He's told us to do these things. Now, this is not a plug. Well, maybe it is a little bit for the 7 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, our prayer meeting that we have here, that we're seeing results from what we're praying there. But in those prayer meetings, they are notoriously small. And I wonder why that is. Because we are told to pray together, which I said, but that prayer time includes, this is my opinion, that prayer time includes waiting on the Lord. And I think that there are a lot of us who are afraid of the silence. We're afraid to be in a group of people and have silence. It's expected of me to hear from God. Yes, God will speak to you in that silence when you still your heart and you just allow him to speak to you. So what was happening here? These people were told to go to Jerusalem and do what? Wait. So I wonder if they had the same opinion of waiting as we often do when it comes to time of prayer. And they didn't come and they missed out, I think. That's my opinion. We'll start with verse 1 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pentecost, you probably have in your homework. I did glance through it. I read the questions, but of late I read them. I'm sure that I read them all. But to call to mind any one of them right now, was it in there that Pentecost, 50 days? It was 50 days after Passover. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. And so let's just go over this because there has to be a clear understanding of what we're talking about here. There was Passover. That was when Jesus was sacrificed. Then there was, the next day was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And then the Sunday after the Sabbath, after Passover, was the Feast of First Fruits. So that you can find that in Leviticus chapter 23, all of those things that I just said. So Jesus died on the day of Passover, buried during unleavened bread, and he rose on the Feast of First Fruits. He would be the first fruit of all who would be raised. And so all of those in that direction there, so that you get those clearly and we clearly understand that. There were 7 Sabbaths, takes us to the Feast of Pentecost, and Penti means 50, and now the 50 days were completed. So they were 40 days in the upper room, and now they are in this place 10 days waiting for something to happen, waiting for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So the Passover, the unleavened bread, first fruits were all filled by Jesus. And now he is also fulfilling this one on Pentecost. By the way, the unleavened bread, have any of you an idea of how that all works with the unleavened bread? How they break it in 3 pieces, and they take the middle piece, and they wrap it up, and they hide it during the time of the Passover time. And then the kids get to go look for it. And the kids discover it. It's wrapped up in a napkin. Remember the napkin that was on Jesus' face? Yeah. And so it was buried in there, hidden, and they find it, and the one who finds it gets a gift. And that gift is eternal life when we look at it as being Jesus. This is part of the unleavened bread is a part of when they left for Egypt, they didn't have time for the bread to raise. That's what it comes from. That's the unleavened bread. But why they particularly do this, I had a difficult time finding that out. So if anybody knows particularly why they hide it, I would really love to know that from you. But I found it very interesting that it is the middle piece, which is Jesus, right? So there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the Son is the one that would be wrapped up into the grave and is brought out. So the Jews were doing it long before we ever knew Jesus. So Pentecost here is when the church was born. Pentecost in the history was when the law was born. Pentecost in history was when the law was born. That's where the word comes from. And here we'll see that when the law came down, you remember when you looked at that story, you know the story of when Moses came down from the mountain, he had the Ten Commandments in his hands and he was bringing them down. And what were the kids doing? The kids were running wild. They had the calf. They had all of the immorality going on, all of the things, worshiping other gods already. And he brings it down. And on that day, 3,000 people died on that day. The law kills. But in our text today, we will see that when the Holy Spirit comes and what Jesus has done, we will see that 3,000 people came to life. 3,000 people were saved. So the law kills, but here it is. We'll see how that comes together. So Pentecost is fulfilled. That's what it had fully come now. It had been completed. And so verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Did you think, as I thought, okay, so we have 120 people in this house, and where is there a house in that area that is that big? Did anybody else think of that? How are all these people going to fit in here? Well, that's because they were in the house of God. They were probably in the court of the Gentiles. They were on Solomon's porch. They were easily visible by everything, all the people around them. In the temple would be all of the Jews from all of the area that was around that we'll talk about in a minute. So they would be easily visible from there. A wind comes through. We talked about in John 20 how the Holy Spirit, Jesus came and he said, he breathed on them and they said, take the Holy Spirit. That's our centerpiece. You might want to notice that. That's our backdrop for today. Notice the eyes of the people in the back. They're very surprised at what's going on. Okay, so you'll want to check that out a little bit later. Thank you for putting that up. He breathed on them, but here it is a mighty rushing wind. It's like, we recently had what happened? We had all that wind blowing and trees toppled and power poles come down, and all of these things happen because of a mighty rushing wind. I don't know how it must have felt to do that, but when you see when that happened, I would say, you know, forget my hairstyle, you know? It would just be, oh, and wouldn't it cause you to breathe in? This is the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And it goes on to say, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People wondered, what in the world is going on here? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I already told you where they were at. And so others could see. And then there appeared, verse 3, to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. Divided tongues as of fire. They were on fire. I was reminded of the bush that was burning that Moses looked at, and the bush was not consumed. there was a burning fire over them. Who was it? It was the Holy Spirit over them. And you know what? They couldn't see that it was on them. They may have been looking at someone else and said, oh, look, oh, man, I see it. Oh, that's right on you. You can't believe it. It's just right on you. And they would say, oh, but it's right on you, too. It's on all of us. The Holy Spirit is now coming upon them and consuming them. And the excitement that comes from that. And we need each other to notice in each other what the Holy Spirit's doing so that we can encourage one another. We can be a strength to one another. We can cause them to grow. We can cause each other to grow and to be what God wants us to be. And so we need that encouragement. And so they, in verse 4, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they speak in other tongues. They were speaking in languages that people could understand. We see that as we go along here. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, the devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed. These are unlearned men. They haven't taken these languages. They don't know these languages. You remember, and it goes on, and when it talks about the places that they've come from all over the place. And you remember, when was it when all the languages came to be? At the Tower of Babel. Remember, they were building a tower to God, and God said, you ain't doing this. And so he struck them with something that caused them to each speak in a different language, so they couldn't keep doing what they were doing. So here's where all the languages came from. We've got people coming from 2,000 miles away in Rome that are coming to Jerusalem. And they are a part of that group. All Jews, all with different things to say, our voices, languages. But the apostles talked in the right dialect. Have you ever talked with somebody who is speaking another language and the people that they're talking to, they can't understand them? Because, well, I'm using the right words, but you don't have the right dialect. You don't have the right tonnage, especially in Chinese. That would be a problem. And so they did it perfectly, as if they knew those languages. A long time ago, before when I first knew the Lord, Bill took me to a camp for inner city kids, and at that camp, there was a little girl in my cabin who was taken into the hospital with an asthma attack. And so it was in the middle of the night. I was laying on my bed afterwards, and I began to think in Spanish. And I can't explain anything to you. I don't know why I was thinking in Spanish. I have never taken Spanish in my life. I still don't know Spanish, but I was thinking in this Spanish. It was another voice, another tongue that was in my head that was giving glory to God. That's what the gift of tongues does. It will always give glory to God. It will always move in that direction. And so then these were all of these guys were there for Pentecost, and when the sound occurred, they said that. Verse 7, then they were all amazed, marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes on to tell us in the next few verses where they were all from. And in verse 11, it goes on to say, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, what? The wonderful works of God. The gift of tongues. We can talk about the gift of tongues at another place. This was a gift of a language, a gift of tongues that needed to be put across. I have heard stories of missionaries who have spoken in tongues at a prayer meeting or something, and someone else who spoke that language has said, I understood exactly what they were saying. That is a gift that God gives us. Now, this gift of tongues will always be to the Lord. It will always be bringing to the Lord. If you've ever been, I don't know how many of you are in a Pentecostal area or what you believe on this, but have you ever been in a meeting where someone spoke out in tongues and then someone says, I have the interpretation to that. And then the interpretation sounds something like, my beloved child, I want for you, blah, 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 blah. That is not the interpretation of tongues. That is a gift of prophecy. It is not the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues will always be vertical. It will always be toward the Lord. It will be, say, you would be interpreting something like, you are the great and mighty King. You are glorious. It would be giving praise to the Lord. So if it's prophecy, it's horizontal. It's to the people. It's from God to the people. So the difference in those two that make it clear to us. And so they were all amazed, verse 12, perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up, remember they were sitting when the wind came, and Peter standing up with all of the 11. So all of the 11 are standing up now. And Peter raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these who are drunk, as you suppose, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. There were people that were drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. I know people today that are drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. But they wouldn't have been. Here's why. Remember, they're in the court of the Gentiles. Remember that they're talking to very pious Jews. Remember that they are Jewish people that are speaking. A Jewish person would never eat or drink anything before prayer time. Prayer time was at 9 o'clock. They were all in there for their prayer time. So none of them would have been eating or drinking anything until 10 o'clock. So they're saying, no, this is not true. This is not the situation. We are not drunk with wine. And so, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And so we need to be very careful that when we say some, when we say things, I'm so far behind in my notes here. Peter says that, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the King James Version, it says, this is that. This is that. This is that that was spoken of. And if we do things that are unusual, if we say things that people question, we need the ability to back it up with what Scripture says. That's why we hide the Word of God in our heart, so that when we do or say things, we are able to say, this is that which was spoken of in this place, in this particular place. And it says, then it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And don't you just get the idea when that mighty wind came by that was just a pouring out? Do you get the same idea that I do when it was a pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all flesh? Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, old men dream dreams, and on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Wait a minute, what? This is that was spoken of in Joel, and I'm going to pour out my Spirit, and all this stuff is coming too? Is it coming right now? No, this was the beginning of the last days. This was the beginning of the last days. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It was the beginning of the last days. And here we find ourselves in that place where he says, this is that was quoted in there. It's the beginning of the last days. It shall come to pass, verse 21, that whoever, whoever, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to be Jew. You don't have to be Gentile. You don't have to be French. You don't have to be American. You don't have to be of a different color. You don't have to be, there's no stipulation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it goes on in verse 22, men of Israel, this is Peter still speaking, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you. This is how he proved himself, by miracles, by wonders, by signs, which God did through him, and you know it, and it was in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So he was put there with a plan. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and you've put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Why was it not possible that he should be held by it? Because he was sinless. He could not be brought down. He could not be, death could not hold him. He had no sin. And then we move on to verse 25. For David says concerning him, and this is from Psalm 16, and it's speaking about Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption, to see death, to see that body wasting away. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence, and fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. David, the one that you admire so much, is in the tomb today. They still have a place where his tomb is, but he's in his tomb. He did not rise from the dead. Therefore, being a prophet, speaking of David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, that is of David, the son of Jesse, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. That because of David's life, because of his relationship with God, because of who he was, in 2 Samuel 7:12, it will say that he will... He would raise him up. Verse 31, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. You saw him raised up. You know that he was raised up. We all saw him raised up. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So they are seeing something happen. Did they see the tongues of fire? I don't know. The things that you see and the things that you hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This again is speaking of Jesus. This whole chapter is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Who is saying this? This is Peter talking. What do we know about Peter? He was spontaneous. He said some things without thinking. He would get words out before the mind got in gear. A little bit like me. We all could relate to Peter, can't we? He was the one who always was, he had so much zeal, but didn't take the time or whatever to listen and to just let things go. This man who had so many of those things that we have recorded, and I think that's why we have it recorded, because God can use anybody for anything. God can use us. And here he is giving this speech. And he said, but you, the one that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. This is an evangelistic message right here. He is telling them what they have done and who Jesus is. That's what evangelism is. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? What shall we do in this situation? What does Peter tell them? Repent. That's the first thing that we need to do. Repent. What is repentance? Repentance is turning completely around as if I were turning my back to you. That's repentance, going in the opposite direction than you're going. Turn around. Stop going in that destructive direction that you're going in. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift of the Holy Spirit is available to every one of us. All you need to do is ask. Just ask. Is it going to be a real emotional time when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? Will we like burst out in other tongues? Will we burst out in some other thing? Will we dance? Will we what? I don't know. Some people it has. But tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. It is a gift. But it's not evidence of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. It is an evidence. It is not the evidence. Any of those gifts are available to us when we have the Holy Spirit come upon us. And we have that gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And who's called? Everyone is called. We're all called. We're all called. For the promise is to you, and the promise is to your children, and the promise is to all who will be alive. All of those who will be born. It's available to all of us. It will always be available to all of us. Now, are the children automatically Christians because parents are Christians? They have to make a decision. We all have to make a decision. At what age are they old enough to make that decision? When they make that decision. Our kids, one was 3, one was 5. The other ones, I'm not sure on the exact age. But they walked with the Lord from that time. What does a 3-year-old have to be forgiven of? They understood it. How did they understand it? It was a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that directed them into that. And if you want to talk about babies, then we can talk later, okay? Because that's a longer discussion. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Are we not preaching that exact same thing today? Be saved from this perverse generation. Don't be taken by the things of this generation. Don't let this generation consume you. Don't buy into all of the things that this generation has to offer you. Find out, does God have this to offer to me? And if God has this to offer to me, then I want every part of it. If God isn't a part of this, then I don't want any part of it. Who was it that said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going? And that's where I want to be. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. No matter where it's at, no matter where I want to be. If you don't go with me, if I can't take the Lord to a place where I'm going, say there's a date, okay? So think about, you that are married, think about it when you were single or whatever. So think about the scenario anyway. So you're out on a date. And opportunity arises. That's not a good opportunity. but you don't want to lose that person. So let's pray first. Would we, any of us say that? No, why? Because we know it's not of God. And we have to do those things. I want to be able to pray about everything that I do in my life. Everything. And if I am in a situation where I'm asking God to bless something that I know is not Him, I am off base. And I need to get back in. So be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Earlier on, when the law came in, at Pentecost, when the law came in, the birth of the law, 3,000 died. At the birth of the church, 3,000 came to life. God does that. God does that. And they continued. That is just, that word just went, whoa, it jumped out at me. They continued. It says steadfastly, I say, they continued stubbornly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, and fellowship. Don't forsake the fellowshipping of yourselves together, and in the breaking of bread, which was communion. Remember, Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me. And in, what's the main thing? Prayers. Prayers, ladies, I can't express it enough. Be in prayer. Talk to God. Listen to God. You can't figure a situation out. Listen to God. Listen. I have a friend that just sat and she did it for quite some time and she wouldn't get up until she heard from God. She had an issue, and she needed it settled, and to say, I'm not leaving this position, this place, until I have a word from you, God. I have to know what you have in this part, what part you have in this. I have to know, and I'm not leaving if you won't go with me. Then fear or awesomeness came upon every soul, verse 43, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Wonders and signs. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Here we get to a place, well, is this what everybody's supposed to act like? Is everybody supposed to get rid of everything and nobody has a house and nobody has a car and nobody has extra growth or all that they need or whatever? That's not what it's saying here. Look at verse 45. They all things in common, so nothing is just mine, and sold their possessions when they were led to and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. As anyone had need. Now, you'll remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They said that they sold their land or whatever it was for a certain amount of money. They were not required to sell their land. They were not required to sell, to give the money to the church. That was not a requirement. But they chose to want the glory. And so they lied. Could they take Jesus there with them? Could they say, Lord, bless this as I go into the temple? And I tell them I have just sold my land for an amount that I'm lying about. God, would you just bless it as I tell them that? No. It was all in pride, and it cost them dearly, cost them their lives for anyone who has need. So continuing, verse 46, daily, all together in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. So this talks about they ate meals together. They spent time together. Ladies, we need each other. Please do not get tucked away on your own. There are times we need some time alone. But don't get tucked away on your own so that you are prey for the enemy. We need each other. So get together, have dinners together, have lunches together, have coffee together. It doesn't have to be at a restaurant. It can be at your house. It can be in the park. It can be someplace else. But get together with other people. They ate their food with gladness. They were excited about it. And simplicity of heart. They just lived a life of simplicity. 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 I'm telling you that continuing daily, they lived their life in simplicity. Our lives are so complicated, aren't they? So much going on. Let's just simply love God. Let's just simply love one another. The gospel is simple. I was at a retreat, and I don't know what I the lady in charge said, your teaching is it's so simple. And there was just something in the way that she said it that gave the impression that I wasn't doing what she had expected me to do. And I had that feeling came on, like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm just, this is the way I teach. But the gospel is simple. It's not complicated. Why do we complicate it in the way that we teach it? It's simple. So they were every day in that place. Albert Camus, a French writer and philosopher, said, real generosity towards the future lies in giving all to the present. Real generosity towards the future lies in giving all to the present. If I want to be generous today, if I want to be generous in the future with everything in my life, with my time, with my money, with my emotions, with my whatever, I have to do that today. I have to be sold out today. So continuing gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people for a short time. They will have favor with all the people for a short time. We'll see that very quickly. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to the church. Here's my, I don't know what word to use right here. I get frustrated when we try to put together programs or great things or blah, 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 because we got to bring in this group, we got to bring in that group, we got to bring in. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. As we do things, as we put programs together and stuff like that, make sure that God's directing you to it and that your thought is toward what God's doing. What is God doing? And then let him add to it. Let him bring in the people. Let him minister by the power of his Holy Spirit through all of us. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And may he give you peace as you walk through this day. And Lord, we thank you that you are amongst us. We thank you, Father, that there is nothing that will overtake us. The waters will not consume us. Nothing in our lives will overtake us, Lord. Our lives are completely in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.